All right, we're going to continue today on talking about being God's masterpiece. I want to follow up a little bit on that from last week's message a little bit and kind of go just a little bit different direction for a moment. But, you know, I think sometimes we have a tendency to underestimate really what God is doing or what God can do in our life. If someone come up to you on the street or let's say at church here and just wanted to make some conversation with you and they asked you this question, what is God doing in your life? I'll be honest, that sometimes can be an intimidating question because it forces us to kind of evaluate kind of what we've been up to. You know, what would we say? You know, hopefully we wouldn't say, I don't know, and sometimes that is an answer. You know, that we're forced sometimes to say. But I think what we should say is that either God is doing something to us or God is doing something through us. And sometimes he's doing both. But that should be really how we evaluate our life. And I believe that the Lord won't make us do anything for the most part. There's going to come a day when people are going to be made to do something. But until he comes again, we still have our free will and how God deals with our life. You know, we need to be willing to follow. And that's where we need to get in our life, that we want to be a willing participant. And when that happens, something great happens because we become part of the process. And that's what we need to look at today, is becoming part of the process of what God is doing on the earth today. I want to launch from the scripture we finished with last week, Ephesians 2, verse 10. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the word of God that, Lord, you are preparing us. We are the generation that is going to reach out to a lost and dying world. Lord, to draw in those who need to be a part of your kingdom, which is everybody, Lord. And Lord, use us in a mighty way. Embolden us in our faith. And Lord, right now I just pray, Lord, that you just stir up the gift that you've put inside of me. I want to use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words to both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, two of the main points of last week that I wanted to fall back on this week that hopefully you kind of meditated on. If not, you should. Because the first point I want to look at is to get a purpose. You have to have a purpose. You have to have a reason to get up every day. A lot of people, when they retire, if they quit everything, it's not long before maybe their health goes downhill or a lot of bad things start to happen because they don't have a reason to get up every day. And we have to have a reason to get up every day. We looked at the idea of being repurposed and what that meant. And what the word repurposed means is adapt for a different purpose. See, when we were going off in the world and doing what we wanted to do, we might have had a noble purpose to some degree, but our purpose wasn't exactly God's purpose. I know mine wasn't. I was trying to build my kingdom, and I wasn't really involved in building God's kingdom. So when Jesus got a hold of me, he started to rewire my brain and started to change things a little bit, and it gave me a different purpose in life on what I'm supposed to be doing. Also, we looked at an interesting word, which is the word upcycle. We've been upcycled. I believe that. See, when you've been upcycled, that means you take a product that's already been created, and then you use it for a greater purpose and value than it was before. So once Jesus gets a hold of our life is better, and we're going out doing greater things than maybe we ever thought we could have done. And that's important that we tap into that with our mind so that we can all of a sudden start to aggressively go after the things of God. Now, God created us for a reason. If you haven't accepted that yet, it's a fact. It's a fact. God created you for a reason. You know, nobody is an accident. See, the enemy comes in to try to make us think that we're an accident or we have no purpose or no reason to really be serving God or going out and doing the things of God. technically, as this scripture talks about in Ephesians chapter 2:10, you know, it's talking about we're a masterpiece. We're a work of art. And remember last week I looked at the idea of the statue of David, you know, and how Michelangelo, he thought his purpose in life was that when he looked at that rock, he knew there was a person in there wanting to get out. There was something inside of there, and it just amazes me, people that are talented in that way, because I know that I am not, but nevertheless, I know I'm good at something else, I think. Anyway, amen. So we need to understand that at least you have one thing to do. God has made you good at least one thing. I know He's made you good at many things, but maybe you struggle with that. And now you say, how do you know that, Pastor Brad? Because I do know for a fact that there's several people that I've talked to in my years of being a pastor that doesn't feel they are good at anything. They don't feel that God has put them here for a purpose. You know, I've had people even tell me they feel that they were an accident. Now, that's what the enemy comes in to try to do. He tries to distort the image of God inside of us to make us feel like we're insignificant. And see, we've been robbed if we believe that lie. Because God created us for a purpose, and that purpose is far greater and grander than you could ever imagine. You know, you're not just your profession. Whatever your profession is today, you're more than that. Now, your profession is good. We should work with our hands. The Bible says you don't work, you don't eat. Amen. How many think you need to eat? If you need to eat, you need to work. Amen. So we have to do something. But there's more than that. There's more than just what we do for a job. And we need to find that. Because we're part of God's ultimate plan. And what amazes me is the foreknowledge of God, it says here, that He created us and He knows the plan, the things that He put inside each and every person in this room. Now you think, wow, God can do all that? Well, He can do more than that. Everybody on the planet. It just, if you let your mind go there, it stops working somewhere along the line. I believe. I mean, it's just so hard to imagine that God beforehand, before the ages, had a plan for each and every person on this planet. Not everybody walks in that plan. It's up to us to be able to be a willing participant to be able to follow that. I remember my BC days, you know, before Christ days, I wasn't following God's plan. I was off doing my plan, and I wasn't really destroying the planet or doing something really bad. I was mostly just destroying myself, but because I didn't know really what God had for me. I knew there was a God, but I wasn't able to find that out until a little bit later. Now, God's plan for us is to do good works, and maybe we're not part of that plan yet. Well, I want to share a little bit more. Here's how you get there. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Apostle Paul is writing to the Philippian church. He said, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." Here's the key. We're out there trying to always make ourselves better. But all we got to do is yield to God and His ways and let God start to take control of our life. And He's the one who's going to start to do that work inside of us. Now, I'll be honest, we can do some things on our own, and we should. I'm not saying you just lay there and wait for God to do it all. But I mean, we need to start to get into the flow of what God's doing, because God is the one who can change us and make us. I don't know about you, but I never dreamed I would be doing what I'm doing today. The day after I got saved, I knew God saved me for a purpose. Even before I got saved, I was delivered from death many times, end over end car wrecks and a bunch of junk. You know, so I just always knew in my heart that God had something for me to do. But I didn't know how to find out what it was. So finally, after a process of elimination, meaning I tried everything else, I came to Jesus. Well, I didn't know still everything I was going to do the first day I got saved. I had no clue I was ever going to be somebody that spoke in front of people and tried to help people in their faith. Man, I was just trying to save myself. You know what I'm saying? You know, I was looking for some fire insurance, glory to God. You know, I don't care what AC/DC said. You know, hell ain't no good place to be. I did know that. So I just saved myself. That was step one. But then I started to tap into God. And I started to allow God to work. And then all of a sudden, things started to unfold because a different page got turned in my life. Another page. Just another page. Another page. More information kept coming. More life change started to keep coming in my life. And before long, you know, God was not only doing things to me, but God started to do things through me. And see, that's when I really started to grow. And that's what we need to understand, is we need to get excited about our uniqueness. You can do things that I cannot do. I know that. You can do things that I cannot do because you're unique, just as I'm unique. Now, some people are more unique than others. Amen? Let's just leave it at that, right? That's just the way it is sometimes. And God loves them, we're supposed to love them too. But what we need to do is don't compare, just share. See, that's the thing. Don't compare, just share. See, when I first started out, I started to look around the room a little bit, and I started to compare myself to other Christians. You know, where did I rank in this pile of Christians that I was in? And what it is you can always find somebody better and you can always find somebody worse, can't you? But see, if you're doing that, you'll never get up. You just need to get involved. You need to get into the process of how God does things. You know, I believe you need to start where you're at and do what you can. That's a simple revelation right there, man. Start where you're at. Start at the level of faith you're at right now. And just do something. And watch God start to do something in you. And when we do that, lives start to be changed. You know, the problem is a lot of times we think we have to wait till we know everything before we do something. And I found out if we wait till we know everything, we will do nothing. See, it's only when we let God work in us, it puts us in a position in life. It moves us to the head of the class, shall we say, where God can start to work through us. And we have to let that process take effect. See, you know, we're created in Christ Jesus for good works, you know, the Bible says. You know, don't just focus on what goes to you. See, that's what could happen. When I first got saved, I was like a little sponge. I was out reading everything I could get my hands on. I just wanted to learn. I wanted to grow. I wanted to find out more things about God because it was exciting that finally I knew that God wasn't way out there, but God was really close to me here. So I wanted to get to know this person. And so I started to do that. But sometimes if we do that, if we stay there, we're just going to get inward focused and we won't do outward focused and we're never going to be able to help anybody. Here's what I feel happens in our life, and I want you to test this. If you've never tested it yet, you can take this to the bank. God's going to give you a nudge. He's going to nudge you. He's not going to get up there with a stick and beat you and make you go do anything. God's hoping that, you know, we're going to be a willing servant, you know. So God's going to nudge you. What you need to do is just take a step. One step. Just a step. You just got to step out. And when you step out, then one of the greatest things that I've, other than being saved and being filled with the Holy Ghost, is that you're going to experience God working through you. You're going to experience God actually using you. Because you're God's masterpiece. You're a work of art. You're something that is very special to God. And when we step out and we start to see God working through us, then we're going to see life changing. As we do that, as we go through life then as a Christian, is that we always need to be a learner. You never stop learning. Now here's the key. When we stop learning, we stop growing. And when we stop serving, we stop learning. Because you can always only take in so much. You have to put out in order to take in. Now, at first I was a little bit, I don't know, I didn't know how to take it. People kept saying, oh, you're getting better at some things. And first I got to think, well, how bad was I before? But that's not really what they meant. See, they paid me a great compliment because they told me that I was still learning. And see, that's been my goal, my process, especially over the last several years, is to learn more. Because we never can know enough. And then the reason for that learning process is to be able to give out. Now, serving others, I want to give you a real, not everybody's going to tell you this, but this is one of the keys you're going to have to find out and remember, is when you serve others, it's the only way you're ever going to increase your capacity in life. Everybody in this room, everybody listen to the sound of my voice, has a capacity right now. We all have a certain capacity. You know, do you know that some people handle stress better than other people? It's because they have a certain level of capacity that they can handle in life. And once that capacity gets strained, they start to freak out because they don't have any reservoir to handle more stress. And things. That's just, you know, kind of an example of what I'm getting at. Now, I want you to think like a pint or a cup, a pint, a quart, and a gallon. Okay, those are capacities, right? And different people have different capacities. Now, how many knows what a cup is? It's 10 ounces, right? No, it's 8, isn't it? I was just testing you. Did you know a cup is a half pint? Now, back when I was a kid, if you got called a half pint, then we're fighting words, especially for a short feller like me. You know what half pint means? It means someone who is weak and insignificant. That's what a half pint is. And we're not that. So, you know the old scripture, your cup runneth over? You need to get rid of that cup. You need to get yourself a pint. And you need to fill that pint up, and then you need to get rid of that pint. Then you need to get a quart. Then get rid of that quart, and you need to get a gallon. You need to be looking in life to increase your capacity. Because when you increase your capacity, you increase your leadership potential in life and what it is that God's calling you to do. Because you're going to make yourself more marketable in life. You're going to make yourself stronger in the faith because you're going to be able to handle more things that come your way. And God's going to use you in a greater way because you have a greater capacity to be able to handle things. So volume. Now, one thing about capacity, the reason why sometimes we stay as a half or a cup, I don't want to say half pint because that's an insult. The reason why we don't get a bigger cup is because we don't have a draw on us. In order to need more volume, you have to have a draw on that volume. Like if you have one horse, you only need one bucket. But if you have four or five horses, one bucket of water is not enough, is it? They need more buckets. They need more because you have a bigger draw. So then you get more volume is needed to meet that need, right? So that's the way it is in life. More volume. If we're willing to put out and to help other people, whatever it may be, serving in some sort of capacity, inside the church, outside the church, wanting to make a difference in other people's life, God is going to give you something bigger in your life because there's more of a demand upon your life. And then you're going to start to see God's anointing. See, God's anointing. Now, we had some good songs today, amen? I thought they were good. You know, there's a clapping, you know, a whole lot of clapping going on. You know, maybe some of you even felt some goosebumps. Maybe you felt the Holy Spirit in some ways. But see, the Holy Spirit is more than the goosebumps in the church. The Holy Spirit is what's ministering on the earth today, and He wants to minister through us. And that's when you start to experience anointing. And when you start to feel the anointing come through you, when God enables you with His grace, which is His unmerited favor, then you start to see things start to happen. And two things happen. Number one, you're being a blessing. And there ain't nothing better than being a blessing. But the next step is you're really being blessed. Because I don't know about you, but the first times in my life when God took this half pint and started to use him, and I started to see the anointing of God and started to witness that, what God could do through me, my life was changed. I knew more than anything the reality of God in this world. Because he wasn't just way out there, some random thought that somebody told me that God created everything, but I actually experienced the Creator creating things through me, changing lives, and making a difference. And see, that's what I want us to see, is that if we see ourselves as a masterpiece, we no longer see ourselves as insignificant, because we don't want to get stuck at a certain level. A lot of people just grow until they get comfortable, and then they want to stay there. But I want to say, you know, don't get stuck in one spot. Keep growing. Be ever evolving. Ever wanting to learn and experience God in a deeper way. You never know when you might need it. Because there's a lost and dying world out there that is looking to somebody that has the answer. Now, the most dangerous thing for a Christian is that when we think we know it all is when we know it the least. And I've watched this and I've experienced this in my own life. Is, you know, I've went through, you know, some people, and, you know, when you get the people that think they know it all, it's almost like they dare the pastor to try to teach them something new. I've watched that and witnessed that in some people's lives. You ain't telling me nothing. You know, I was old enough, I could have changed your diapers, boy. You're going to tell me about God? Yeah. Because if you got that attitude, you forgot about God. We have to be growing. We have to be learning. And just because, and if we're not, then we're missing the boat. We're missing out on the plan and purpose God has for us. And, you know, we need to thank God for what he's done. I do. I thank for God for what he's done. But I'm excited and expectant, and that's the key. You got to be expectant for God, what God has yet to do. See, God has better things in store for us. You know, the better things are ahead, and we need to be ready for that. We need to be looking for that. We need to be reaching out and saying, God, I want you to move in my life. I want to see your glory come. I want to see lives change. I want you to use me, God, and all of my friends around me. We want to make a difference. We want to see lives changed. And that brings us to the next scripture in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. It says, For it is God who is at work in you, both the will and work for his good pleasure. I don't know, God gets a kick out of it, I guess. He enjoys it. He loves to work through us. I don't know about you, I'm a parent. I get a real kick when my kids do some things. When they do good things. Okay, let me clarify. When they do good things. When they do godly things. When they're out there maybe being a blessing to somebody. So that means me to the point we need to live the plan. See, God is working every day for his good pleasure. Now, the word pleasure there is talking about gracious purpose. So that tells me that, you know, God is working for his gracious purpose in our life. Every day, I believe God wants to work in our life. Now, some days are bigger than others. Some days you may move a mountain. Some days you may move a little pebble. But still, God's doing something. You know, we need to be on the lookout. We need to be ready. We need to be expectant for God to use us somehow, some way. You know, be a witness to those around. You know, one thing I found out is that we need to do good and not be a do-gooder. Did you know there's a difference? There's a difference between doing good and being a do-gooder. See, a lot of Christians get real religious and they become do-gooders. A do-gooder is a well-meaning but unrealistic interferer, meaning they stick their nose in other people's business, telling them what they should be doing. See, God never called us to be a do-gooder. God called us to do good, to go out and do good in the lives of others. And doing good is someone who is empowered by the Holy Spirit that's out doing the works of God. Now, you don't have to raise people from the dead to be doing the works of God. You can just be walking in love, showing people the love of Jesus Christ, helping them for the glory of God, wanting to encourage them in their faith. Just one step's all you need. Just try to get somebody to take one step closer to God, then maybe you'll get to help them with the next step. If not, somebody else will come across their life. And see, God is always wanting to bring us closer, closer, closer to Him. You know, what we always believe here is that change life, change lives. If our lives change, we need to be out changing lives. We need to be able to share what we know just so other people's going to experience in theirs. You know, this quote comes across your news feed probably every day. I don't know where it came from, who was the original, but it says, preach the gospel every day, and when you have to, use words. Amen. Right? I'm sure we've all seen that or heard that. Preach the gospel every day, and when you have to, use words. So what I believe as a pastor and somebody that knows how to lead people to the Lord, you got to use words too. But one thing I will say, that it's our actions that will open the door for the words. We earn the right to speak into somebody's life. And we do that by going out and serving them and wanting to see, you know, God's glory be done here on this earth. Now, the purpose that why we're here needs to squish out of us. Now, all of us has probably squished something sometime, haven't we? You know, when you squish something like a bug, what's inside the bug comes out, right? When you squish it. That's kind of gross, ain't it? Let's turn that into a positive thing. Everything needs to squish out of us as a Christian. What's in us needs to come out. It's got to come out. This is just a shell that houses the glory of God inside of us. So we need to let the good, all these things, just come oozing out of our life. Our focus needs to be maintained on wanting to build God's kingdom. And all we have to do is remember that we're always influencing people, and that's our vision statement here. Influencing people, leading people from where they are to where God wants them to be. Now, if we were out on the street and they were doing construction on the sidewalk, they were tearing up the sidewalk, and they had about 50 foot of sidewalk tore out, and you was walking towards it, and you was able to look ahead and see that problem, so you knew you had to move. Well, then you look around, right beside you is a blind person. They're walking along there too, and they're heading up there towards that sidewalk that's all tore out. What would you do? Now, don't say you get your camera out and start the video. That'd be cruel. No. Hopefully, you would take them by the arm and say, hey, there's some trouble ahead. I want to lead you to safety. I want to take you around this problem. I want to get you to a place where it's safe. Well, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. Are we willing to stick out our hand and to take these people from a path of destruction and lead them to a place of safety? That's influencing people. That's reaching out. You may not get them the first time. You may not, your first contact, shall we say, in the Star Trek terms, you may not be able to bring them totally to safety, but you're going to take them one step. That's all you have to do. You have to try to be leading people to the next place that God wants them to be. And I challenge you again today to be a part of that plan. It's not, you don't have to wake up, you know, I don't want to make it any pressure where you're a fire-breathing evangelist and you're, you know, just, you know, yelling at people all the time to get right with God. No, I'm just saying, be a Christian. I'm just saying, love people. Love on them. Let them, you know, let the compassion of God, you know, start to ooze out of me. And see, that's something I know I want more in my life, is more compassion. I'm not the most compassionate person all the time like I'd want to. I want Jesus' compassion. You know, and, you know, I've been praying for that in my life because I really feel that compassion unlocks the door for the miraculous. That's just what I think. You know, so I'm wanting to unlock that door a little more. You know, I'm wanting to go through that. So I'm just asking God to do that in my life. So you can pray that God will help me in that. I appreciate that. But see, when we start to let God's love shine through us and work through us, you know, then we start to see the miracles happen. And it's more than just, you know, like I say, you have to use words. I go back to this old story, and I still remember that. See, when I first got saved, you know, I was an evangelist in a sense. I was always telling people because, you know, God saved me from going to hell, and I just want to tell everybody I knew. So I was always telling people about Jesus to some degree. Now, I remember somebody come ask me to give a testimony back here in Albion when we came back, and, you know, this lady was a Calvinist. You know, they were a Reformed church. And I could tell when I was giving my testimony about how we need to go out and we need to tell people about the Lord and get them saved, her face was getting all contorted. She's getting downright mad. She says, I just lived my life as a Christian and I knew I was, and that led them to Christ. And I go, huh. I look at my Bible and I turned it this way and I turned it that way, and huh, that ain't what the Bible says. We're supposed to live it, but we're still supposed to tell them. Her and I parted. We don't send Christmas cards, if that's what you're asking. No, we don't. We don't even communicate no more. And that's been 25 years ago, and I still haven't got a card. But that's all good. You know, we need to live it, and we need to speak it. So, we need to choose to be a part of God's process and let Him have His way in our life. And I just want to challenge, don't settle for average when God has created you for greatness. I believe that with all my heart, that nobody here is an accident, and everybody here has something that they're supposed to accomplish for God. And we just need to be a part of that. Let's pray.